board last time. You know, I'm just like adding another column to the chart. I'm not going to put the old columns there. The one thing which we didn't discuss yet, as I recall correctly, is we discussed a lot about the din of the food. And it's interesting, if you look, you see the difference in lifestyle between us and the time of the Gemara and Rishonim. They were all mainly concerned about the soup or the cholent. You know, whether the pot is kosher or not was like a side point you then had to deal with. Right? The ikar is that the cholent should be kosher. Okay, that's probably because they had pottery pots in those days, you know, which were made of mud. It cost like 10 cents. Nowadays, it's very much the opposite. This cholent might be expensive or might be very necessary if it's Erev Shabbos, etc., you know. But the pot is more of our concern because usually it's if we have to throw out the pot, that's a much bigger hefsek. Our pots are very kosher. They're made very well. Then the food and even kashering the pot, which is just a bit of a tircha, is usually more annoying to people than, you know, cooking another vegetable soup. So what is the din in all these cases where we said the food was mutter? What's the din of the pot? So, this is discussed, and here we're going to skip around a little, at the end of Se'if Vav. Says the Ramah says two things in Se'if Vav. One, if it's keneged ha'esh, it's mutter, because the esh is sorful miyamsho, buz ha'kedera na mishari. So what's the din ha'kedera? What's the din of the pot in this case? So, in this case, where it's Kenegeda Eish, says the Ramah, the pot is mutter, which makes a lot of sense. If the whole svar of Kenegeda Eish is that the fire burns up the drop and it never does anything, then it's not absorbed into the pot. So you have a fleshik pot, a drop of milk was burned up and didn't go into the pot. So it's no problem. Interestingly, the Shah here quotes in Simkat Chavav from the Torah Schatas, in the name of the Yisr Beheter, you can follow the chain, Torah Schatas, Esvet, etc. They don't explain anything. They just say that lichatchila one should kasher the kedera. And the post can assume this shach. I mean, he's not quoting himself. He's quoting Torah Schatas and Esvet. In fact, the Torah Schatas and the Ramah and the Mappa say different things. It's not a methodological problem. He often changed his mind subtly. You know, usually didn't change his mind from east to west. But subtly, from the pot is mutter to lichatchila, it's kedai to be machmir to capture the pot. It's a very small shift. So says the shach lichatchila, right? Says the shach lichatchila, you should be machmir like the Yisra Zohar to asher the kedera lichatchila machmirim, meaning you should capture the pot. The achronim assume, the later achronim assume, like the shach lechumra, that even though. Don't we say we're sure that it got burned up and didn't none of it got into the pot? But I guess we're afraid lechatchila that maybe a little did get into the pot while it got burnt up, and therefore the pot might have a little basa b'chalav in it, and therefore not enough to asher the food, but enough to kasher the pot. Okay, let's continue. Let's go to the continuing in this Ramah in Sif Vav. What do you say at the end of the Ramah? What if you have this heter of Kenegeda Rotev ve'al yedei shishim? That's this case. Right, so what's the svar? Remember the svar if it fell Kenegeda Rotev, that either, here I'll say the Beis Yosef Shach's version, either it'll spread immediately through the whole pot and be batel, or it'll go straight into the Rotev and be batel. So, what's the din then? So here we have a big machlokas. Says the Ramah, a big chiddush, buz hakdeira haviyasura. Says the Ramah, and the Shach agrees with him. The Shach is not in Sif Vav. The Shach is in Sif Hey, Sif Kut and Yud Tes. Says the Kedera is technically, I guess, Asura. Because Kedera is feminine. The Kedera is Asura. Why is the Kedera Asura? Didn't we say Mimanav Shach? Either it will go into the Rotev, or it'll spread and be bottled through the whole pot. As a matter of fact, because of that Mimanav Shach, the Marshal says the Kedera is Muteris. Quoted by the Taz in Zivkat and Yud Zayin, and the Taz says, V'chein Iker, Kmo Shasker V'samach, and then he repeats it again. So, says the says the Maharshal, and the Taz in Simchat Yud Zayin and Yud Tes. Says Muteres Aval Lechatchila Machmirim Mipnei Shenireh Ka'asura. All right, the Marshal and the Taz have a good svara. They say we had a whole Miman of Shach. Either, whatever you say the Miman of Shach is, basically either the Tipa will be harmless or it'll go straight into the food and be batel b'shishim. It won't like just aser part of the pot. It won't aser the pot. Either it will not aser the pot. Either, again, according to the Shach of Yosef, either it'll spread through the whole pot and be batel b'shishim or go straight into the rotem and be batel b'shishim. So it's gone. According to the Taz, either it'll never go into the pot at all, or it'll go into the pot, straight into the roads of Bethel B'shishim. So it's gone. So the Taz and the Marshal make the most sense. Because Miman of Shach, this will not ask for that. It'll be Bethel B'shishim. What? What? Shach is your text. Taz is your Zayin. I thought that handwriting was clear. What's the Svar of the Shach and Ramah here? And the Svar of the Shach and the Ramah here is that, even though Svar is Miman of Shach, right? The Tifa Eina Oseres Hakdeva. What's the Svara of the Shach? The Svara of the Shach is also a Miman of Shach that you want to ask for the Kedera. But the Shach explains the Svara. The Svara is that one side of the Miman of Shach is maybe the Tifa will go into the Rotev. Okay, if it goes into the Rotev, no problem. Then it doesn't create any Hanan or any Isra in the walls of the pot. It goes straight into the Rotev. So why do we still consider the Kedir to be trade? Maybe the Tifa will go into the Rotev slowly and is still on its way in. Meaning, Miman of Shach. There's not going to be Hanan. There's no chance of Hanan if it's connected to Rotev. Because either it will dissipate immediately and be batel b'shishim, or it will go straight into the rotev. But maybe it won't go straight into the rotev. Maybe it'll take it 20 minutes to go straight to go into the rotev. And if you stop there for 10 minutes, maybe some of the tipa is still on its way into the rotev. Or if you stop after an hour, still maybe it takes an hour and a half and some of it's straight on its way into the rotev. Therefore, says the Ramah, if it falls connected to rotev, it won't make hanan in the walls of the pot. So it'll go into the rotev. But it might go into the rotev slowly, so maybe it's only half into the rotev and half it's still in the pot. And therefore, the pot is usher, because it still has half a tipa left inside. And therefore, the Ramah says, afilu yesh shishim b'tavshel k'neged tipa. Therefore, even if there is shishim the tavshel time for the tipa shenafla, it will still usher the pot, because it's going in slowly. And therefore, he adds, v'ichumer v'yerem yad tavshel b'tzad ha'achar shlo k'neged tipa. You should immediately pour the tavshel out from the other side. Why? Because if you leave the top shul here, that's bitul shel chachila. You're causing the tifa to keep going into the top shul slowly and being bottle. You're not allowed to cause bitul chachila. Chiddush here is, you're not even allowed to passively allow bitul chachila. Therefore, you should immediately, if the pot is treif, immediately pour the top shul out the other side. The ambition with dera top shul acher dina kumav v'pamar rishon. And therefore, he says, what's the nafkamina? And we pass in like Ramah here, or Machumra, says, therefore, the nafkamina is, nafkamina is one yere miyad hatavshel mitzad hashemi, right? Immediately pour the tavshel out the other side, so it doesn't keep getting more and more milk bottle in it from the spot. And B, im bishlu shuv bikdera dino kepam harishon. What does that mean, dino kepam harishon? Okay, a lot of arichos here in the later achronim we won't go into. If you cook again and the spot where it hit is connected harotev, then the food's okay. If you cook again, but you cook very little in the pot and the spot is lamal in a rotev, then you're in trouble. Because maybe as you start cooking, that spot will become chanan because it's not near the rotev. And then the rotev will touch it and then you'll have a problem. Yes?
The food going slowly in the store, afraid that even after the food is left, it's going to go in after that?
Now, if you put a new food in cooking, yeah.
And there won't be shishim kinegat. It won't be kinegat tipa.
It depends. It depends how much food you put in. If you put in a lot of food, it'll be kinegat, and it'll be bidiyav and mutter. But l'chachila, you can't be batel isser. Okay. What about these? So that's what's before us here in the Ramah. What about these other cases? If you have 60 times 60, the top slope negative tikva, or these other cases, I think these other cases, we assume that it is pashut, that in these other cases, the pot remains usher. Here it's pashut, the pot remains usher. Because what are we saying? We're saying even if there is 60 chanan in the pot, you have 60 times 60 mivat the chanan in the pot. But there's chanan in the pot. Or in this case, pashut. Ah, you have chanan in the pot, but let it cool down. Don't let the rotav touch that chanan. If there's chanan in the pot, then the pot's usher. In this case, also pashut, the pot's usher. Pour it out the other side, to this side of the pot is usher. So the pot is usher. What about the Ramah's case of Kedira Chadasha? In the Ramah's case of Kedira Chadasha, what he's saying is, there's no chanan in the pot. Because some of it just got milchik, but since it was a new kedera, there was no fleshik there. So there's just milk. But if there's just milk in the pot, and you're using this pot for fleshik, then obviously you can't anymore, right? Because you can't use any milk in the pot for fleshik. So basically what I'm saying is, four out of these cases, pasha the pot's usher, because we admitted that tipa was nivla in the walls of the pot. But in this case, the whole chap of the tipa wasn't in the walls of the pot. It went straight in. That's why the Tazim Arshal says, Midina the pot's mutter. It just looks bad, so kasher it. And the Ramah says, no, Midina the pot's usher. Maybe it's slowly going in and hasn't all gone in yet. In this case also, we say it got burnt up before it went in any place, so it should be kasher. Nonetheless, the Shach of the Rachila Machmir, even though they don't specify why, maybe they're just not 100% sure that it all got burnt.
So the Taz thinks there's a difference between a pot and a piece of meat, because the Taz said, Rashi, if it fell on a piece of meat, then no one would make the meat, piece of meat kanan, even though it then spread on the entire thing. He seems to think it wouldn't make the pot chanan, even though it's present the entire thing.
Where do you see the Taz says it's present the entire thing?
I mean, the Taz here says, you know, it should be there's present the entire pot, or it's present the whole thing, and it doesn't make the.
No, that was, first of all, that was the Shach's version. The Taz's version was either it doesn't go through the pot at all, or it goes straight into the rotev.
Right, I'm saying. So here, if according to the Taz, it will go straight into the rotev and it won't stay in the pot at all. Meaning, well, that's one option. That's different than the piece of meat.
Correct, that he said. Right. Okay, now I understand what you're saying. Correct. He just says it's different. Because we've been sore from the shock. Okay, so much for that. Now, halachal maisa, what does this mean, halachal maisa? Halachal maisa is very simple. If a drop of milk lands on the outside of a floor of the pot, we always consider the pot tray. Shalom aleichem. Right? Meaning whether the chachila b'diavad in the first five cases, 1 through 4, we consider really treif. Not marshal taz, we pass like the shach and the ramah. In this case, we just say lechachila we treat it as treif, but lemaisa it's treif. Now, an interesting question is, yeah.
If you did cook b'diavad and all those things, if you cook, you have shishim, you can get shishim.
Right, then you would have to make a chet. Right. Okay, quite possibly.
Most likely, whatever you're cooking.
Yeah, most likely. Unless you're cooking. Less the second time than the first time.
Yeah.
Correct. Okay, so lemaisa, if this ever happens, and it does happen often, you have to kasher the pot. The interesting question is, how do you have to kasher the pot? So, how do you kasher a pot? How do you kasher a relatively small pot? Anyone? Right? Basic Jewish knowledge. How do you kasher a relatively small pot? You boil up a much bigger pot, then you dunk the smaller pot in the bigger pot. Okay. What if it's a big pot and it doesn't fit in it? You don't have a big enough pot to fit it into, right? How do you kosher your biggest pot or your five biggest pots, right? Meaning it could be your third biggest pot, but it still doesn't fit in anything because the handles stick out, right? How do you kosher your big pots? So anyone know what the answer is? You fill it with water and you make it overflow. Great. Okay, you fill it with water and you make it overflow. You don't actually have to make it overflow. I mean, technically, you don't have to make it overflow. In the old days, they used to just build a little moat around the pot out of cement or dough or something, just make it like go over the top. Okay, that is how to kosher a big pot. Question is, what if the big pot got treif in this way? Says the Pischei Tshuva, he's basing himself on the Magen Avraham, but the Magen Avraham doesn't say this quite so explicitly. Says the Pischei Tshuva in Sifkat and Gimel, Nira b'chol makom shotzker b'simen zeh shekdira asurim hisham atecha zubal lagila lo mahanik shenyam le'en amayim v'yartichena de'im kein tzarechit zolo negal el tzarech lachnisa kulu liyora. Says a big chiddush. Says it's not enough to. He says big chiddush. If I had mamish cooked ham in this pot, I could kasher it by filling it up, making it overflow a little, and kasher it. But if I'm cooking very nice chicken soup in my fleshy pot and a drop of milk lands on the outside, then even if I fill the whole thing up, it won't kasher it. Because even if it overflows a little, who says it'll overflow onto the spot where that drop landed? Right? When a pot overflows, it doesn't always overflow onto all its sides. Right? So, the ikar of overflowing, we'll see when we get to Hagalas Kalim, is just to cover the rim. So, says the Pesachi Tshuva, if I only kasher the inside, it doesn't help, because it got trayed from the outside. When it gets trayed from the inside, anyone know the three-word phrase of Hagalah? Kibolo kach polta. However, with Golea, it is polate, however, the board that expels. So when something got trayed from the inside, I kasher it from the inside. But over here, it got trayed from the outside. So it's not good enough to kasher it from the inside. What do I have to do? I have to go find someone with a big enough pot that I can submerge it in a giant pot, and then the hot water will be on the outside too. And then it'll be kibolo kach polta, chumra of the Pesachi Tshuva. The Chazan Ish in Simen Yud Tes Seif Vav of the Chazan Ish Yoredei, of course, argues on this as well. The Chazan Ish, as well as many other, Mefarshim, argue on this. The Chazan Ish, as well as many others, argue on this, and says that that's not true. As long as you fill it with water from the inside, that kashers even the drop that came from the outside. Right? Even though taka the drop got absorbed from the outside, boiling it up on the inside is good enough. And minastam, the Chazon Ish is correct, meaning in all of Hilchos Chametz, says how do you kasher a big pot? Oh, you just boil it up from the inside. Why aren't we worried that one's chametz landed on the outside of that pot? So apparently, if one's chametz lands on the outside of something, that still gets kasher by boiling it up on the inside. If a little milk landed on the outside of something, it still gets kasher by boiling it up on the inside. So most achronim, many achronim, disagree with this Pesachi Tshuva, and I think the minhag is not like this Pesachi Tshuva. That the minhag is like the Chazon Ish, that even if it got a drop on the outside, you can still kasher it by boiling up water on the inside, and we assume the boiling water on the inside is so strong that it'll kasher all the way through to the outside.
I don't really understand how it goes, but if the whole point of having it overflow is that it gets on the side, why can't you just pour water on the side?
Aha! So, adds the... I don't remember who added this, but at the poskim, they say even if you want to be makra like the Pesachi Tshuva, and it's a big pot, they still have an eitzah. Boil it up with water on the inside, and while it's boiling water on the inside, boil up a kumkum of water and pour it on the outside in the spot where the milk landed. And then it'll be exactly kibolo kach polta. Something landed on the outside while it's boiling on the inside. And so you don't need to find someone with a gigantic pot. And Mestome, even the Pesachi Tshuva would agree. He just wasn't coming up with clever solutions. You know, but even the Pesachi Tshuva would agree, even the Fida Machmirim, there's an Eitzah to kasher your biggest pot. If it got milk on the outside, just kasher it and pour milk on the outside at the same time. However, the Chazon Ish and others are mekel that you can just boil it up on the inside and that's good enough.
There's good by a small pot when we said that you kasher it in a bigger pot. Which bigger pot are you using? If it was one that had a kosher, the other pot that you have.
You wait till it's Eino Ben Yomo. You wait till everything's Eino Ben Yomo.
Yeah.
And then you kasher it in a bigger pot, and it won't hurt the bigger pot. When it's Eino Ben Yomo, then it won't chafe up the water.
And that's what it'll have to do?
That's what it'll have to do for kashering.
Okay.
Not for cooking, but for kashering. Okay, why? We'll get there. Okay, so that's halacha l'maisa, that most poskim are not machmir like this Pesachi Tshuva, and as Shlomi pointed out, even if you want to be machmir, even if you want to be mahadra like the Pesachi Tshuva, then there's an eitza to just boil it up, and at the same time, pour water on the outside in the spot where the milk landed.
Going along with the theme of bolo kach polta, can you just pour cold water on the outside while it's boiling inside?
That is a good question, because if you pour cold water on the outside, that should be the same thing, except that how can pouring cold water help?
The same thing, it'll heat up the same way.
You know what? It's a good... Lemaisa, no. But logically it makes sense. Lemaisa, no. We have to figure out why. Lemaisa, no. What?
Meaning the pouring cold water, meaning since the lights we don't pass like that anyway, so pouring cold water should at least be better than... No?
No, maybe cold water is worse. It cools it off.
It cools off the stuff inside.
Yeah, it cools off the whole pot. Anyway, yeah, don't try that at home. Okay, or anywhere else. Okay, one last thing we have to mention, and this is mamish, maisim, chol yom, but very, very different. What if, unlike this whole case, not a tip of chalav that lands on a fleshik pot? How about a tip of chalav that lands on a parav pot? Or maisim b'chol yom, what about a kettle? Right? Remember people used to have, anyone still have a grandmother with a tea kettle on the stove? Right? So you keep the tea kettle on the stove. Sometimes you're boiling water for tea. That's power, obviously. A drop of milk might land on it, or a drop of meat might land on it, right? Or if you have a big metal kumkum. I don't mean like the kumkums, like the plastic on the outside. Because the plastic kumkums on the outside are well insulated, and the outside really never touches the inside, right? So even if a drop of milk lands on the outside of that kumkum, the outside part of that kumkum is not attached to the inside part of that kumkum, right? But let's say the metal kumkum, that all is a metal wall, right? The big metal cylinder, right? So once, minastam, a drop of milk lands on that kumkum. So is it milking now? So what happens if a drop of milk lands on the outside of the kumkum, or a drop of meat lands on the outside of the kumkum, or just a pirate pot cooking vegetable soup, right? Maisim b'chol yom. So in one three-letter word, what does not happen in this case? Chanan. There's no chanan because you have a mixture of milk and parev, and milk and parev does not make chanan, right? Maybe if chanan applies to sharisura, to anything that's usher, but chanan definitely doesn't apply to mixture of milk and parev. No one's going to say, right? If I, no one's going to say if I make, cookies, you know, with milk inside, that they're chanan if they're 3% milk. No, they're not chanan. They're perfectly mutter. They're perfectly fit for Jews to eat. That can't be chanan. There's nothing wrong with them. Nothing's wrong with it. It's not chanan. So you'll never have chanan because you're never going to put meat in this. It's a power of plea, right? So it's a tea kettle. It's never going to be chanan. It got a drop of milk, but you only cook water in it, so it can never be chanan. So if it can never be chanan, then you never have any chashash iser. The question is, what about lechatchila? Because what happens when you then cook water in this tea kettle? There's a little milk in the wall. There's a little milk in the wall of the kumkum. Every time you cook water, maybe a little bit of that milk goes into your water. It's probably less than a 60th, right? So what's that called? Maybe that's called bitulus lechatchila. Now, hold on a second. That's not true. If I cook in the kumkum and a little milk goes into it and then I use it to make coffee, that's no problem. But let's say I cook water in the kumkum intending to put that water in the cholent, or to put that water in the chicken soup, right? Or to like make a fleishik soup mix with that water. Then maybe it fits a little chachila because I'm a vatal a little milk and mixing with meat. Or if a drop of meat landed on the kumkum, maybe every time I heat up the kumkum to make coffee with milk, I'm being vatal the drop of meat, the time of that drop of meat, to put it in with the milk. So that's the big question. The big question is, here we have my, what's part? Part is green. Here, the easiest case. Here we have my green kumkum. Kumkum, by the way, is a Gemara word, not just a minor Hebrew word. And in that kumkum, there is a bulias tipas basar. Right? Maybe it landed above the rotev when it landed, so mamash got nivlet into the wall. Even if it landed connected the rotev, according to the Shach and Ramah, we are choshe got nivlet into the wall and didn't fully go out. So, and then, what if I want to now cook water, boil water, that's what we call it, right?
You still know the state of Isser when you're
boiling water for milking, right? So is it bithul isher l'chachila? So, points out Chayim, technically you don't have any bithul isher l'chachila. Worst comes to worst, it's bithul chalav l'chachila, right? Which, who says that's aser? L'maisa we're machra on it, but you're right, it's not so pashat. Says the Chachmas Adam here, in the footnotes of the Chachmas Adam, which is called Binas Adam, says the, right, you know, in the Chay Adam, the footnotes are called Nishmas Adam. In the Chachmas, that's Or Chayim. The Chachmas Adam for your day, the footnotes are called He says, no, there are many reasons why this is not a chash of bitul isher l'chachila. What are the many reasons? He says, number one, because of what's called nafarnat. We didn't get to nafarnat yet. We'll get here soon, Amir Tashem. What does nafarnat mean? It means that really, me'ikar din, anything cooked in the milchik kli is really power of not milchik. That means, not by not means dosi tam or dosi tam, secondary transfer of taste. Again, if you're Ashkenazic, don't necessarily try this at home until we get to the Siman Tzadikei, because you might not be doing l'chachila, if you just relied on the Pashup shot of the Gemara. But the Pashup shot of the Gemara and the Ikra Din, again, don't try this at home, is that whatever I cook in a milchi pot is parif. Whatever parif I cook in a fleshy pot is parif. Meaning dairy equipment is parif. Meat equipment is parif. So even if I cook this in a milchi pot, in a fleshy pot, it's going to be parif anyway. Number two, there's a din called tashmisho b'shefa. All of these are things we don't rely on. But all of these are strong shitas. Not barnat is pshat and gemar most rishonim. We don't always rely on it. L'chachila. Tashmisho b'shefa means this. If you have a kli that you're always going to use at shefas a lot, you always cook so much that the blia that comes from the kli will be batel b'shishim, that's not even bitulas l'chachila. That's totally mutter. So in a kumkum, if there's one drop of meat spilled on the outside, you always cook at least 60 drops of water at a time. Right, you know, like in our kumkums, it has to be above the elements. So it only works if you have at least 60 drops of water there. Right, you have like hundreds of drops of water. So therefore, since you always use it with much more than shishim, that's not called bithalis or chachila. Okay, we'll get to the svara inside the test. Number three, the truth is if you had asked me, okay, maybe you know, the most Yerash Shemayim is the Venus Adam, I would have said, so what's the problem? Give me a break. A drop of meat landed on your kumkum, don't worry about it, because even if you're now cooking water to plan to use with milk, that's not bitulus l'chachila, because number one, you're just making the water is going to be pyrav anyway. You don't have to involve the meat taste. The meat taste is automatically doesn't count. The rule of not bar not. The rule of not bar not means a taste of meat that came from a clean to pyrav doesn't count, regardless of the amount. And number two, even if you do have to use bitul b'shishim, it's tashmisha b'shefa, you always have so much more than shishim, and that's not considered a problem. The Venus Adam is still a little nervous, so the Mahadran, the Venus Adam says, if you wait 24 hours, seems as a bit of a chora that he requires this. No Saint Tom, you have another Tom Lachal, no Saint Tom Lufgam, meaning whatever taste comes from that drop of meat that got absorbed in your kumkum and goes into the water is no Saint Tom Lufgam, right? Because it's a bad taste after 24 hours. So says the Binas Adam, again, I think there's really the Mahadran that he says to wait 24 hours, but he says certainly if you wait 24 hours, then you have three reasons why it's really mutter. Now, even though we don't rely on any of those three reasons alone, because no satan lefgam, we don't rely on lechachila. And not barnat, Ashkenazim don't rely on lechachila. And tashmisha b'shefa, Ashkenazim don't rely on. But since these are all serious halachic factors to make it mutter, and you put them all together, then he says, heter gomer, no problem. So therefore, if a drop of something splashes, I don't mean like a whole liter of milk falls on your kumkum. That's different. Then it's not going to be batel b'shishim. You don't have 60 liters in your kumkum. Then you have to kasher the kumkum. But if a drop of milk or a drop of meat is splashed on your kumkum, that's no problem, even though now you'll be getting a little taste of meat or a little taste of milk, tiny little taste of meat or milk into your water. That's no problem because the tiny taste is an up or not. The tiny taste is tashmisha b'shefa, is something that's always less than 60th. And if you wait 24 hours, l'mahadrin, it's no Saint Tom l'fgam. That's what the Venus Adam recommends. And therefore, it's no problem. If in our original case you didn't have these kulas, why? Because in the original case we're always afraid, at least in many of the cases, that it made chanan in the walls. Once it makes chanan in the walls, that's not called nafarnat. Nafarnat only applies to dairy equipment and meat equipment, not treif equipment. Once it makes chanan in the walls, that's treif equipment. And it's not tashmisha b'shefa, because it made a lot of chanan in the wall, and you don't always have 60 times that. No sin tam lefgam would still apply if you waited 24 hours, but we don't rely on that. What?
Oh, one drop.
Yeah, or a few drops. I'm not talking about if you spill a liter of milk on the outside of your cocoa.
If you cook, you know, this won't have, never have any roast because there were no stove range tops, but if you cook on, you know, if you're frying something, the pot next to it's going to get, you know, dirty.
So if the pot next to it gets dirty enough that it's not tashmisha b'shefa, then it's not so poshut. Then you should kasher it. Luckily, it's not so hard to kasher a kumkum. Because according to the Chazon Ish, how do you kasher a kumkum? You just boil it up. Then it could be a problem. So it all depends. Basically, you add up all the splashes on it, and if those are for sure less than a 60th of anything you ever cook in this thing, then you have the hetzer of the Venus oven. And if not, then you don't have that hetzer.
Most of the kumkums people are using today aren't like this. They're not like the tin ones that are whatever.
Depends what's most and what's who's, well, which people. You're right. Most of us don't have tea kettles like our grandmothers.
And the plug-in ones are like
the plug-in ones generally are no problem on the outside because the outside's not even attached to the inside. Yeah. But a lot of people for Shabbos have the big urns, have the big metal round ones. Right? Very few people have the tea kettles that sit
like blow that whistle, you know. Okay, that's really, I'll teach your Hebrew phrase, shalpam. Right. Okay. So this is very important.
I use those.
Okay. Well, you're a shalpam kind of guy.
Yeah.
Kayadua. Okay, Viker. Now the Ramah goes on to discuss other cases, which come up totally out of the Orchos. Let's go back to the Ramah in Sif Zion, the third word, where he just gets on a tangent into other cases that have nothing to do with, I mean, that have nothing to do, but that are not exactly what we're discussing until now, of milk hitting a meat pot. He says, what if you drop, you spill chalav or any type of iser on the ground, and you put a hot pot on it, right? It doesn't have to be the ground, meaning I spill milk on the counter, and then I take off a hot pot of chicken soup and put it on the milk. Okay, very stupid thing to do. But let's say by accident, sometimes even smart people do stupid things by accident. So, in mashenishbach in way to leish, if it's not near the fire, is one of the ground, right? So meaning, if it's by the fire, meaning the ground where the fire is, then it's all considered al-gabeh eish. It's all considered al-gabeh eish, it's all considered hot. Anything near the fire is considered hot, for good reason. And therefore, it's all tricky. But if it's not near the, you spilled it not near the fire, like on your counter, not where the fire is. I mean, our fire's not on the counter, it's on the stove. Then, what's the din? Lavi ra klisheni, it's only a klisheni, v'lachina k'deira surjibali k'tas v'atav shal mutter d'tata gavar. Here is a big chiddush l'kula drama that we hold like. What's the chiddush l'kula drama? Here we have, let's say, milk. Halav. Chela would be the same thing, though, so I'm not going to put a vowel. And here we have Cham Shenishbach Al Hakarka Shelo Liyad Ha'esh. Right? Not near the fire. And here we have a Gideras Basar Rotachas. Right? So, what's the din? The din is this milk, it was hot milk that spilled. But once it's spilled on a cold surface, what is it called when you pour something hot onto a cold surface? Klisheni, right? What's the difference when you pour something hot into a cold bowl or you pour something hot onto a cold counter or floor? That is klisheni. So he says this equals klisheni. Klisheni tata. And this is klirishon ilah. And the question is, what's the din if you have a klisheni on the bottom and a klirishon on the top? So the Taz quotes from Rabbi Chilmi Pariz, who says, no, it's usher. It makes a bli in the whole thing, and therefore the whole Keres Basar is going to be usher unless it's 60 times the Chalav. However, we don't pass like that, says the Ramah, and says something according to the Yasmin, we didn't mean it, we only meant it was near the fire, says the Ramah, the Klisheni counts as cold. Not only does the Klisheni itself count as cold, it even counts as cold to be Tata Gover and beat the Klirishon on top. It's a big chiddush. Not only does the Klisheni count as cold, it even counts enough as cold that it beats the klirishon on top through tata gavar. And therefore, tata gavar, it's only also k'dei klipa. That's the psak of the Ramah. And the shach and tas say, of course, if it's, they quote a marshal, if it's near the fire, the shach quotes the marshal a little bit of a funny lashon, if it's from the fire. But all the achronim are down in the shach, and if you look up the marshal inside, he means if it's near the fire. If it's still near the fire, I mean it's still being heated by the fire, then that's a different story. If it's being heated by the fire, then it's all a klirishon. Right? But if it's not being heated by the fire, then this counts as cold on hot on top, cold on the bottom. Tata governs only Asar Kadei Klipa, and therefore the din is Asar Kadei Klipa. Now, what's the Klipa of this pot? How much soup is in the Klipa of this pot? Trick question? None, because the pot itself is the Klipa. And therefore, the Kadeira Atzma is Asura. Obviously, only the bottom of the Kadeira is Asura, but that means the Kedir is Asura, and the Tavshil is Mutter. Okay, that's the first psak of the Ramah. Okay, it's a Chiddush. I might not have thought that myself. I might have said, nah, come on. The bottom part is not totally cold. It's only Klisheni. She said, no, Klisheni counts as cold. That's all I've done for.
Can you explain the Svara again?
The case is I spill hot milk on the counter, and then I put a hot pot of chicken soup right on top of it. Says the Ramah, even though you might think it's like hot on hot, no, once I spilled the hot milk on the counter, it became a klisheni. Now it's cold. So there's cold on the bottom. I
put the hot pot of chicken soup on top. So even though it's not really so cold on the bottom, because it started as hot milk, it just became cold for Tishani. And even though the pot of chicken soup is much bigger than the spill of milk, nonetheless, the spill of milk beats the pot of chicken soup, tata gover, and it only is asur kedei klipa. Okay, good, kula. Next case. What does he say? I'll read again. If it's not near the fire, then what's filled is only klisheni, considered cold. The kedera, the pot is treif because it absorbed the bottom kedei klipa. But top shel mutza gavur, but the food inside is mutter because that's how gavur and only asur kedei klipa. Next is kiluach when kedera rotachan shahalach el kedera tzonenis, right? Yeah.
Didn't we say that svar of tatal gavur is that he rises?
Yeah.
So what does that do with here? The heat's not rising.
Sure, the heat of the pot is rising up into the air, and the coolness, the heat of the pot is rising up into the air instead of going down into the milk.
So the milk is completely melted?
No, the milk's also gedei klipa, but who cares? The milk is a spill anyway.
Oh, so they're both also gedei klipa.
Yeah, they're both also gedei klipa. Just no one's asking the status of the milk because the milk is not useful. It's just a spill.
Okay.
On the ground. Remember, he's saying on the ground, not on the counter. If you spill milk on the counter, do you serve it afterwards? No, the milk is also gedei klipa.
No, because I just thought tata gavra means that generally the whole thing is also, the whole thing that's on top becomes also. That's how we
know
before.
No, tata gavra means if the bottom thing was hot, then everything's also gavra. Right? On Shishim. But if the bottom thing is cold, then everything's only Asur Kedei Klipa.
It's still cold. Right?
Okay. Continuing. V'kizuach v'ne kedei rotachas. A spill from a boiling pot, right? We know boiling pots often spill because they boil over. So a spill from a boiling pot, shahalach el kedei rotzonenes, that travels, and hits a cold pot. In nifsek ha'kizuach v'ne kedei rotachas, kodem shigi latzonen, naminami kiklishen. If the stream breaks before it hits the cold pot, then it's like a cliche, and it doesn't answer it. So what's the case? Next case. We have, obviously, one pot is meat, one pot is milk. Otherwise, we wouldn't care. Or one pot is kosher, one pot is drink. Right, here we have our meat pot. And the meat, and here is our surface. Hot. And here we have our cold milchik. Cold milchik. Right? Doesn't have to be a pot. It could be anything. It could just be a piece of cheese. Here it boils over. And it goes till it hits the milchik. So what's the din? So it depends. If there's a break in the kiluach, right? Then this counts as klisheni and it doesn't do anything, it's cold. So once there's a break in the kiluach, think about it. This first part is still a kiluach as iri from the pot. But this second part, that's not attached to the pot anymore. So if it's not attached to the pot, it's just sitting, it's just what's spilled on the counter. We know what's spilled on the counter, it's called klisheni. However, if there's no break, okay, but, so klisheni and mutter. However, if the case was no break, then this is considered iroi, and it's oser kedei klipa. Okay, yes.
When it hits the counter, isn't that the break?
Great question. Okay, great question. The answer is no. I mean, Ramosha will have things to say about this. We're going to save that for a lot later. The simple answer is it's not considered a break because the flow is still connected. As long as the flow, what I mean to say is this. Let's say, okay, this is the famous Trumas Hadeshen, right? What do I mean by the famous Trumas Hadeshen? Let me ask you a question. I turn on my faucet on Shabbos and out comes hot water. Forget about whether I'm allowed to turn on the hot water faucet on Shabbos or not. That's not my topic now. I turn on the faucet on Shabbos, out comes hot water. Is that water coming from a Kli Rishon or coming from a Kli Sheni? It's coming from my faucet. Is my faucet a Kli Rishon or is it a Kli Sheni?
Well, it's Yuri Kli Rishon because it's coming. It's pouring
so
out.
So says the Trumas Hadeshen based on a diuk from Hilchos Shabbos, based on a diuk from the Gemara in Daf Mem, I think, that Rebbe was in, you can deny this diyuk. This is his famous diyuk based on Rashi, that Rebbe was in a certain bathhouse, and it was very hot, they used to have hot baths then, and he says, I want to warm up the oil, so take out of the bath and a klisheni, and then we'll warm up the oil and the klisheni. What's the diyuk? The bathtub is a kli rishon. Why is the bathtub a kli rishon? You don't cook in the bathtub. So some people say, no, Nataka, there was a fire under the bathtub in the old days. He says, no, the fire is in the boiler room. Right? Simple shot is they had a boiler room in the Roman bathhouses. The fire is in the boiler room. Why? But since it's all connected through the pipes to this bathtub, therefore, whatever's connected through the pipes is still considered kli rishon because it's all connected. That is what the Trumas Hadeshet says. He says, we see from here that whatever is connected, even if it flows here and flows there, it's still considered to be the kli rishon, it's all connected. So even though it flowed on the surface, it's still considered kli rishon. You don't say it's a kli sheni when it lands on the surface. Just like the water in your house is not a kli sheni when it goes through your faucet. It's not a kli sheni when it goes through your faucet. It's not a kli sheni when it goes through your faucet because it's all connected. Likewise here, it's all connected. It's not considered a kli sheni. It's considered iroi from a kli rishon. That's the chiddush of the Trumas Hadeshet, and we paskin that way. Now, just a few things we have to explain. Yes?
Why can't you say the case is just the hot pot pouring directly on the side of the cold pot? And like, either has a break somehow, or... No, that would be
really
kli rishon.
Maybe
not touching the counter per se.
Sheholach el kedei ratzonenes. I think it's a good question. I think if you look up the makoros, it sounds like it was going down the counter. Certainly, a lot of achronim say that, such as, for example, the dagomer vava here on the shacht lamed dalid. The dagomer vava on the shacht lamed dalid talks about. Nishbach al gabi karka hakira, that it was on the karka hakira, and the Prima Gadim on the Shach Sifat Lamadala says that. Also, I'll explain why in a moment. Okay, let's just explain why in a moment. Here he says Iroi Oser Kedei Klifa if it was Yad Solenis Bo. Right, if it was Yad Solenis Bo means obviously if it travels along a far enough counter, it won't be Yad Solenis Bo. If you're sure it's not Yad Solenis Bo, there's no problem. But assuming it's Yatzel Lettuce Bo, that's considered Iroi Kli Rishon.
First case is Yatzel Lettuce, why wouldn't that?
Even if it's Yatzel Lettuce Bo, they have to be careful, right? They have to be parallel, right? Mutter?
It's still Mutter.
Even
right, so what's pshat
if there? It's Yatzel Lettuce Bo, what's Pshat? Pshat is, it's not considered Iroi once there's a Hefsek. Once the Hefsek is not Iroi, and if it's not Iroi, it's Klisheni. And Klisheni, even Yatzel Lettuce Bo is not Mavliya. We'll see that's a Machlokas. But the Ramah and the Machaber assume that Klisheni is not Mavliya, even though it's not Yisrael Lettuce Bo, they assume Klisheni is not Mavashel, v'chule. Now, here is a question all the Achronim are bothered by. All the Achronim are bothered by the following question. What's this called? What problem do all the Achronim have that there's a word for this? This is Iroi Shalom Nifsak HaKiluach. And this is Iroi Shenifsak HaKiluach. What's the rule of Iroi Shenifsak HaKiluach? Anyone remember? What do we say with the rule of Iroi Shenifsak HaKiluach? Like if I pour, but it's not attached. It's just like falling through the air. We paskin. This is the question of all the Achronim on the Shach Lamedalit. Right? Both the Dagon Mervava and the Prima Gadim. Well, it sounds from here like the din is that it's mutter, right? However, say the Dagon Mervava and the Prima Gadim on the Shach Sifkat and Chaf Dalet or Lamedalet? Lamedalet. They say, no, that's not true. We see from many places in Yordaya, including the Shachs in many places, that Iroi Shenifsak HaKiluach is still Mavliya Kedei Klifa. So what's Pshat here? And we see many Rishonim that Iroi Shenifsak HaKiluach is still Mavliya Kedei Klifa. As a matter of fact, it seems pretty clear in the Gemara, in Pesachim, the Sugya Tatah Gavra, that Iroi Shenifsak HaKiluach is Mavliya Kedei Klifa. So what's Pshat? So they say, no. They say, Iroi shenifsak hakiluach is oser kidei klipa. So why does our Ramah here say it's heter gomer? Because this is not a regular Iroi shenifsak hakiluach. Regular Iroi shenifsak hakiluach means I pour something. Right? Let's say I have a cup of water. I pour something, and I pour a bunch of water, and then it flies, goes through the air and lands on something. That's Mavliya Kedei Klipa. Over here, it wasn't just Nifsek HaKiluach. It was Nifsek HaKiluach, and it was traveling on the counter. Hold on. If it's Nifsek HaKiluach and traveling on the counter cools it off. Remember, this is the counter, not near the fire. So they say, don't misunderstand this case. There is a sheet of that. Does understand the case this way. They say, halacha l'maisa, totally nidches. Don't misunderstand this case. They say, no, here's the principle. Iroi shenizchal al gabe, they say nizchal al gabe kira, but they mean a cold of it, right? Shenizchal, let's just call it, nizchal means it flows, right? It flows on a surface. V'nifsak hakiluach. That is mutter. That's like a cliche. And that's very logical. If it would fly through the air, even if it wasn't totally attached to where it came from, but nothing cooled it off so much. You can't call it a cliche. It never went in anything else. So it's still Iroi Klirishon. It's also Kedei Klipa. But if I spill it on this table and it's Nifsek HaKiluach, then what's Nifsek HaKiluach? It's on the table. The table is a cliche. That cools it off. And that makes it cool. So halacha l'maisa, don't misunderstand this case. What he's saying is, if it spills from a hot pot, if it's an unbroken stream, it asks for a klipa. If it's a broken stream, it doesn't ask for at all. We don't paskin like what you might think from this Ramah. Even an unbroken stream will ask for a klipa if it's flying through the air. But an unbroken stream on a surface will not ask for at all because the surface cools it off and the surface serves as a cliche. That's the halacha le'maisa. Yes?
I think it's just a chumrah that we're assuming that it's not a cup when it's floating along the ground. What's the svar of it? Because it's not connected to the heat.
Yes.
The ground's cooling it off. Normally assume that the walls...
I think it's a good svar. I think if you ask a scientist, he would agree. Of course, he would say you have to make an equation. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. But I think he would agree with the idea.
And then the ground's counteracting the...
Yeah, but the ground, it has more to counteract.
No, we're talking about yatsa lettuce anyway. We're talking about a case...
Yeah. And therefore, if it's yatsa lettuce, we are a choshesh. I don't think it's so crazy. I don't know.
Normally, if yatsa lettuce, we're not choshesh. We just said that the walls of the clear cooling it down.
Okay, you're asking a more difficult question, which is, if it's all yatsa lettuce, what difference does it make? Okay, we're not going to answer
that. I'm happy with that Tosha's answer. I'm just saying, then apply this bar here.
I think even here you could say, but at the same time, there's something cooling it down. There's something else warming it up, and therefore it's considered hotter. Okay, there's a fascinating question that's brought up here as well, which is, let's go to this case. What do we say in this case? We said it's also kedei klipa, right? Hot, cold. It's also kedei klipa because tata gavar. Meaning, what are we calling tata? We're calling the cold pot tata. We're calling the hot stream ilah. If you looked at the diagram I drew, the cold pot and the hot stream, which would you say is top, which is bottom? Trick question, what would you think? If I just asked you without any previous knowledge, you would say, this stream pointing this way and this pot, which is top, which is bottom? What would you say?
Stream is bottom.
Maybe stream is better, or you'd say neither. It's hitting it from the side. That's what I probably would have said. I would say neither. It's hitting it from the side. Okay, whatever you want. Doesn't matter. The question is, here's the question. The question in this case, here we have a fundamental machlokes taz and shach. Is ila tata gavar shayat here? So this is the machlokes in the taz versus the rama and the shach. Here is the rama and the shach say that the cold pot is tata. And the hot stream is ilah. And therefore, tata gavar in the cold wind is when we ask for kedei klipa. Says the taz. This is shach lamed vav. One second. Shach lamed vav. What is a shach saying lamed gimel? Give me a second. Shach lamed gimel. Atav shel mutter.
It's not in this case, but
the imak diber. No. Okay. So what does he mean? This. This is quoting the Maharshal, right? By the way, you see how Maharshal be iser beheter shelo. That's what he quoted, and from his Visipro. So Sifro means the Yamshel Shlomo, the famous sheet of the Sefer the Maharshal on Shas. Hey Gimel Hey means Perak Yid Hanasha. You're just supposed to know it's Perak Yid Hanasha, Simon, whatever it is. What is Isra Heter Shlo? Everyone wrote a Sefer in those days called an Isra Heter, but summarizing the what we call Isra Heter. So often the Shach or Taz will quote the Maharshal. Sometimes we write a bit Aleph Vav Shin. Sometimes it'll be like three sentences later Uba Aleph Vav Shin. Doesn't mean the Ursameach or anything like that. Aleph Vav Shin stands for Isser Beheter Shalom. It's a very, can be a very confusing Rashi Tegos. Here it's spelled out in full. So you know, if you ever see the Aleph Vav Shin, it usually means the Isser Beheter Shalom, and it has the word Maharshal either right before it or previously in that paragraph. There's no actual Sefer that the Rashi Tegos or Aleph Vav Shin that the Shach and Taz quote. It's just Isser Beheter Shalom, which obviously is not the name of the book. Doesn't say Isser Beheter Shalom on the front page. It probably says Isser Beheter Lamar Shal. Okay. Or when he wrote it, he just wrote Isser Beheter and then started writing. Now, this Shach is saying, going to the Marshal, saying that if it's hot from the fire, then there's no Tatar Nila and everything's considered hot. But what the Achronim say he means, the Dom Mervava and the Prima Gadim and everyone else, and if you look up inside, it's true, he means if where it is next to the fire. Like, if you put the pot down on the spill next to the fire, then there's no tatani law because everything's hot, because everything's a klibisho, because it's all next to the fire. That has nothing to do with our discussion. All he's saying is that if you put a klibisho on a klibisho, it's not shy to welcome tatar gover. It's all hot. And anything near a fire is called a klibisho.
And everything over there is considered, like, vertical, up and down.
Yeah, and there was marish tatani law. So let's go back to this case. It's sideways. Says the Taz, there is no ilah v'tata in this case. There is no ilah tata in this case, says the Taz. That's ridiculous. What are you talking about? There's no ilah and tata. They're next to each other. So says the Taz, there's no ilah and tata. They're next to each other. Don't call this. He rejects the Ramah. He's allowed to reject the Ramah. Then what's the rule? Now we have a problem, which is really a simon from Sugya from Simon Kofei. So Taka, we know the rule of hot on top of cold, and of cold on top of hot. Right? Machlokesh and Pesachim Dafayim Vav, and we Paskin Tata Gover. We never learned the rule yet of hot next to cold, or cold next to hot. I mean, same thing. But hot next to cold. We never learned that rule yet. What's that rule, and where do you learn it from? So here, that's the discussion of the Taz in Sif Katan Chav Zayin, and he makes it very complicated. Lamaisa, what does he say? He says that, says the Taz, he thinks that what's the rule of two things next to each other? He says, Asur Kedei Klipa. It happens to be two things next to each other, the rule is Asur Kedei Klipa. There is no Ilan Tata. What's Ilan Tata? The rule of two things next to each other is Asur Kedei Klipa. And then says the Taz, the Oser Kedei Klipa, because he thinks that's the general rule, hot next to cold, where they're sideways. However, he quotes the Marshal, who has a different sheet than sideways. Where this comes from, we're not going to get into now. Marshal, he says, maybe our case when it was mamish underneath. But if it would mamish be next to each other, then it would be a rule of next to each other. And what's the rule of? Next to each other? The rule of next to each other is that the hot totally answers the cold. The Rabbi Kiva Eger deals with. If you want to get into Rabbi Eger, you can. I will, simplify it here. Kulo Aser ad Shisha. Obviously, not if the pot is more than a 60th of the milk. You can never ask for more than a 60th of yourself. But he says in this case it is all usher ad shishim, because the marshal is a big chumrah, and he thinks the two things are next to each other, that the neither one cools down the other one, and therefore it gets usher, and usher is the whole thing. He's very machmir. Okay, so the Taz's shita is that, again, the Taz's shita is that this has the din of two things next to each other. And then what's the din next to each other, which we haven't learned yet? So the Taz says he thinks himself the din is just usher kedei klipa, so it ends up the same as the Ramah, but the Marshal thinks it can usher the whole thing. And halacha l'maisa, halacha l'maisa, maybe we would have to be machmir in that. We'll see when we get to Simon Kofei. However, the Shach and the Ramah say there's not like two things next to each other, but then you have a machlokus, what's the rule of two things next to each other, which will come back to Simon Kofei. No, this is Tatani law. The question is, why is the cold called the Tata, and why is the hot called, why is the pot called Tata, and this called Ilah, if they seem to be sideways from each other?
I'm not sure I understood. In the original case, if you had a challah that was completely cold, would it be oser? Would it aser anything in the pot?
Which case?
Instead of challah, so his challah was completely cold.
Yeah, it would aser kedei klipa.
So that's what I don't understand. I don't understand if the whole, like I said before, if the whole idea of Tata Gavar is that I thought the heat rises and makes the thing on top of it hot. But how is that shayach with the bottom thing's cold?
Ah, exactly. And that's why it doesn't usher the whole thing on top of it. Just the kedei klipa.
Why does it usher anything?
Ah, because while it's cooling off, it at least gets usher kedei klipa. After all, this pot is hot. So even though the heat of this pot escapes upwards and the coldness of the milk goes into the pot, but still, it's a little hot and it absorbs kedei klipa. That doesn't mean the point that the dog offers, it won't all be usher. It won't make a real strong bliya. But at least, and remember, maybe it's only Homer Bialma. But at least, according to the Taz, but at least it will be, I mean, according to that Shita, but at least it will be kedei klipa. Kedei klipa is like, even though it doesn't live well, still it's kedei klipa because it has a little heat. Okay, let's go back to this case. The Ramah called this tata gover. He used the word. He says, this tata is gover on that. The Taz says, there's no tata, that's sideways. We have to apply the rules of sideways, which are new rules we haven't mentioned yet. And there are two versions of the rules. But the the Ramah and the Shach say it's called Tatani Law. Why is it called Tatani Law? That's the small Shach of Katman God. He has three deos, which are three different deos about the getter of Tatani Law. So what are the three opinions? Either number one, answer with an okimta. The flow started off higher. After all, look at this. You see? This flow started off higher than this pot. Okay, since it started off higher, even though it's not higher anymore, it retains the status of where it started from. Right? Think about it. This started off 5 inches high. If it started 5 inches high, then it's higher than that cold pot, which is only 4 inches high. And it's certainly higher than this part of the cold pot, which is only 1 inch high. Right? So since it started flowing from above, it counts as on top. It counts as Ilah. The flow started higher, so it is called Ilah. So he's saying, what's the definition of top and bottom for Tatan Ilah? Where it started from, not where it is now. Answer one. Answer three. Okimta. That the flow is landing on top of the cold pot. He says, no, we got the case wrong. This isn't the case. The case is we have a stepped surface, right? We have like a shelf or something. Here's your cold pot. Here's your hot pot, and the flow comes mamish. The hot flow is on top, and the cold pot is on the bottom. Shutuk mashmol, ilan tata. The Shach's third answer. So meaning, the third answer says, geder Tata v'ilah, according to the third answer of the Shach, it means top and bottom now. Like, shuta k'mashma, whatever's on top now is ilah, whatever on bottom now is tata. Why did Rama call the pot tata? It must be it's a case of a step counter, and it lands on top of the pot, and the hot liquid was mamash on top. Did I get the flashing of milk backwards, or did it not say? Oh, it didn't say Baruch Hashem. The hot liquid was mamash on top, the cold pot was mamash on the bottom. According to the first answer of the Shach, the Geder is started out higher or lower. Whatever started out higher is the low, whatever started out lower is the tata. So even though right now this is hitting sideways, since it started out hotter, higher, the hot stream is the ilah, and the cold pot is the tata. Second answer, the shach. What?
Why does that matter? Who cares where it started?
Who cares where it started? I'm not sure. Second answer, the shach is not an okimta, but is just a din that whatever is stationary with an A, right? Yeah. I don't want to. When I was a kid, there was something called stationary, which was when you bought like letters and envelopes, and then that was spelled differently. It was very confusing. Nowadays, we don't need letters and envelopes anymore. But stationary is tata, moving is ilah. Says, don't make an okimta. This is standing in its place, and this is moving and hitting it. Whatever's moving is the ilah. Whatever's stationary is the tata. Actually, it has nothing to do with top and bottom. Therefore, erase all as far as that heat rising. Right? It is stationary versus moving. Meaning, when something lands on something else, whatever's flying through the air is the ilah. Whatever's in its place is tata. And really, the power of tata has nothing to do with being on the bottom. Really, the power of tata has to do with being in its place. Whatever's in its place overpowers whatever's leaving its place and coming to a new place. That's the second answer of the Shach. And most achronim, which again, then tatani law has nothing to do with top and bottom anymore. Just has to do with, whatever's in place, if A moves and lands on Y, regardless of the direction, A was moving and landed on Y, which is standing still, B, which is standing still, B wins because it was standing still, and A loses because it was moving there. Okay. Right. Unfortunately, right, the Jews left the shtetl. They moved to America. The Americanism overpowered their Judaism. Right? Because that was in its place, and they were coming from someplace else. Baba Moseinu Harav. The stationary versus moving, right? Except for those Jews who brought a fire within them. And then the fire within them was like the Eitzelah Eish, and I'm always a Plevishon, and they never overpowered. Okay. The most achronim hold, like this second answer of the Shach, which is really says, Tatani La, erase everything we said about top and bottom. Tatani La really got stationary versus moving. Okay, big finish. Which comes out of this Ramah. So this Ramah has a ton of Kiddushin within it. This Ramah has a ton of Kiddushin. Number one, the rule of Iroi Shenifsek HaKiluach, the rule of Iroi Shalonifsek HaKiluach, and the Akronim point out specifically when it's on a surface, right? In other places, we'll see the rules of Iroi going through the air. Here, Iroi on a surface. Shalonef sakakiluach, osar kedeklipa. Iroi on the surface, shenif sakakiluach, eino osar kal. And the rule of tatani la, what's called tatani, what's called ilah, the Taz assumes tatani la means top and bottom right now. If they're sideways, that's a different rule. The Shach in his third answer says, you're right, tatani la means where they are right now. And it must be no kimta that right now, one is on top, one is on the bottom. But the Shach in his first answer means a small chiddush. No, tatani la means where it started flowing from. Whatever started flowing from the higher is ilah. Whatever started lower is tata. And the Shach's second answer means the biggest chiddush. Really, tatani la is not about what's on top and bottom. It's about what's in its place and what's stationary. Then it makes a lot of sense that, remember, we saw a discussion briefly of if a hot dog falls into milk. The milk is considered tata, the hot dog is ilah. As soon as the hot dog falls, it's on the bottom. It doesn't matter. Because the hot dog was moving and the milk was staying in its place. Okay. That is most of what we have to say for this. So this is very important. When we're going to come back to some of these discussions much later,
I'll have to figure out exactly when. When we discuss issues of sinks and dishwashers, etc., all of this will be a big issue, right? You have, like, water coming through the pipes, that's hot. When is it klimisha? When is it klisheni? When is it nifsek hagiluach? When is it nizchal on the sink, etc.? All these are going to be significant. The one other very important issue discussed in the Pesachei Tshuva here, the Pesachei Tshuva Sifkatan, Dalit says this was traveling along a stove. With stoves that didn't our stoves. Along a cold stove, maybe.
Isn't the Hagdara we just gave for Tatagavar Soter what we said earlier?
Where did we say it earlier?
We said Khalabur Takshanafa Abasar Tsonim. Abasar Takshanafa Khalat Sonim Kulif Abasal Vashamutar. Don't we say that the whole thing Asar?
What do you mean? That was a case where it was hot onto cold.
I know, but what's important is it's moving.
Yeah, hot was moving and landed on cold that was in its place.
So,
the cold wins.
Oh, it was the cold that okay.
Okay. Alright. The interesting discussion of Pesachei Tshuva in Sivkat and Dalid, which really starts in the Be'er Heitev here, for the Pesachei Tshuva is a nice summary. Remember the Be'er Heitev, Sivkat and Chav Hei, has parentheses, which always means of some Chiddush. He quotes from the Minchas Yaakov. The Minchas Yaakov is the parish of Rav Yaakov Reischer, who wrote many, many, many things, including the Iyun Yaakov and Ein Yaakov, the Torah Sashlamim, and many other Svarim. And I'm pretty sure also the Chok Yaakov, like Hilchas Pesach, and this is his Pirush on Torah Chatas, but he brings a lot of new halachas there, not just Pirush on Torah Chatas. He said, what if there was Afer? What if there was ashes on the Kibur? What if this milk or whatever it was traveled over ashes? He says, you know what? If it travels over ashes, you know what the ashes do to it? Nope. Give it a bad taste. Notice the Tam Lufgam, ashes taste bad. Right? So if it travels over ashes and has a bad taste, then it can't answer anything. Heter Gomer. Says the Pesachei Tshuva, that's the Michas Yaakov said in one place. But all the Achronim say, but in another place, he says, I'm not so sure. First of all, there's a big machlokas, we'll see later on, whether ashes really make things taste bad or not. And B says, it just like for 1 second rolled over ashes. Maybe 1 second rolling over ashes is not enough to give it a bad taste. And therefore, they say, no, Rechoshi is still a good taste, and we are machmir. Halach lemaisa, we are machmir on this. We'll see this. We'll have to do dishwasher, sinks, etc. If you have a water which flowed for 1 second over ashes, then it doesn't necessarily give it a bad taste. Even if it was warm, even if it was hot, when it rolled for 1 second over ashes, doesn't necessarily give it a bad taste. The obvious implication is that if it stayed for a few seconds with ashes, it would become bad tasting and would be nosin tam lufgam. Or if it rolled over and absorbed something which was worse tasting than ashes, then it would also become tam lufgam. Like soap, perhaps the diuk is say, because we're not the machlokas whether ash is so bad or not. Okay, let's see the chacham. So he said there wouldn't be soap is so bad. In which case it could be that, and not to mention the fact that when it rolls over soap, it actually absorbs all the soap in it. And it rolls over the ashes, it might leave the ashes there. They might be baked on a little, right? So the pashtus is if you take hot water and you roll it over and it absorbs something bad tasting, it becomes osin tam lufgam, and then the diavad can't ask or anything. But if it rolls over something that is not such a bad taste and only for a few seconds, then we can't rely on that to be matter.
Is it about heter though? Time that it took to the head or something like that?
No.
So what would be the difference? What about time?
The difference is that maybe that's only the chumrah that it doesn't depend on time, not the kula. Okay. The last thing I want to point out in this Ramah is the last part of the Ramah. Ready? Last line in the Ramah. Now we're ready to start our shiur. Let's see. Yes. Last part of the Ramah says, Tifa hano fellas agavi kisai kadeira, dino ikan dino dina kanafla agavi kadeira, negata rote. Bahu shahiska kadeira lartia, aza ola zea tamen, magia ela kisui, yorni shamala rote. Says the Ramah, what if, remember we are hey vav zayin, we always discuss the tipas chalav land on the side of the cholin pot. Negata rotev, shaloka negata rotev. What if it landed on the top of the cholin pot, on the cover? What if it landed on the lid of the cholin pot? Now, the lid of the cholin pot is actually not connected to the cholin pot, right? They're two different kalim.
It's not connected to the cholent. It's not touching any cholent. So what if you had, not this case. This case was cold landing on hot. Now the Ramel's going back to Sifhei and Bav and the Machaber of Zayin. What if you had, let's just make ourselves a little, land appropriation. Here we had a hot meat pot with a cover and a cold drop of milk lands on the cover. What's the din? So says the Ramah very logically. He's just applying the rule of Nir Vikisa. Remember Nir Vikisa? What did that rule tell us? When you cover a pot, what happens? Everything in it is considered to be
one,
connected, right? Therefore, he says, if the pot is full of steam, then when you cover a pot full of steam, it's considered all to be rotev. So it's like hitting connected rotev, and therefore, it's mutter. It's possible shishim in the food. If it's steaming pot, it's connected rotev. If the pot, however, has not started to steam yet, then, let's think about it. If it's a steaming pot, then it's connected rotev, so it's batel b'shishim in the pot. What if it hasn't started steaming yet? Then the Gemara says it's different. What happens if it hasn't started steaming yet? Then it's like it fell shelo connected rotev, right? And what's the rule if it fell shelo connected rotev? It won't hurt. Basically, it'll trafe up the cover, but it won't trafe up the pot because the cover's not connected to the pot. The cover's connected to the pot, but a kli doesn't go, only kli to food. And the cover's not touching the food because there's no steam. So then it'll only answer the pot, but if you let it steam, then it'll make chanan in the pot, in the cover, sorry. And then when you let it steam, the chanan in the cover will answer your food unless it has 60 times 60. But if you take the cover off right away, then it will be mutter. So therefore, what does he say? He says that if it's steaming, it's like a negative rotev and it's bottle immediately. If it's not steaming, then it's like chanol negative rotev. And if you let it keep boiling till it starts steaming or touches the cover, then you're in trouble. The Taz here has a big chumrah, says the Taz in Chav Ches, based on the Maharshal. He says, it's a big chiddush, this Maharshal. He says, no, he doesn't rely on this. He doesn't think we should rely on this. He thinks that even when it's steaming, maybe the steam doesn't always go to the cover. And therefore, it's like shalok negative rotiv. Because maybe when it fell, the steam wasn't touching the cover at that point. So that's the Bichum of the Marshal, that he says even when it's steaming, it's shalok negative rotev. The Taz says, you know what, if it's doraisa, like it's not chicken soup and milk, but it's beef stew and milk, we'll be makra like the Marshal, but all the other achronim say no way. We know from the sugya near Vikisa, that kisoy, we're sure the steam touches everywhere. Otherwise, how would it help to be mechasa miyad in the Gemara and Daf Kofes, right? It fell on a piece, shalok, outside the rotev. How it helped to cover it right away. Maybe the steam doesn't hit that piece. No, the steam hits everywhere. So, halacha l'maisa, let's just summarize. Make another little land grab here. If it is not steaming, that's bad news. That's like shelo kenegada rotev. So, if you take this cover off right away and put it on the side, you'll save it. But if you just let it keep going for a minute till it starts steaming, then it's like lo kenegada rotev, but then the rotev hit it when it steamed, and then it dichanan asrus. If it's steaming, then you have the Ramah and the Achronim who say that it is kenegada rotev. You have the Maharshal who says it's like shelo kenegada rotev, and you have the Taz who compromise in machra and doraisas like the Maharshal and make the rabbanas like the Ramah, and we paskin like the Ramah. Because it makes sense. Because from the sugya, Daf Kuf Ches, we see when you cover something, we're sure that the steam touches everywhere. So then we're sure the steam touches the cover. If we're sure the steam touches the cover, then the cover is connected to rotev. Great. Okay, so much for Siv Zayin. Anyone has any questions, ask now or hold your peace till Seder. Okay. If it's not steaming, then it's like it fell shalom connected to rotev because it fell on the cover. The cover was hot, but the cover was not attached
so you would need
the rotev. So so you would need shishim and shishim. Unless it was chadash, etc. Use all the rules.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
So do we assume that the kisoy had the din of the full-fledged meat, right? Yeah, because
last time it steamed. Yeah.
The Shach's second answer, we said that the stationary is considered to be on the bottom and moving to the top. Is that even if it's on the CS level, that which is moving is...
It sounds like it. It sounds like what if I spritz from the bottom on something? Right. It sounds like the bottom would be called Ilan, the top would be called Tata, ironically enough. That's what it sounds like. Okay, who's going to take a picture of the board? Now we're ready for Sifches. Sifches is very big halacha l'maisa. Starts with an interesting question the Rush had in his shot. Machva shel cholov. So we had Zeya. First of all, what's Zeya? Zeya means steam. Why do we call steam Zeya? What does Zeya really mean?
Sweat.
Why do we call steam sweat? What? When I sweat, does that create steam?
It's a vapor.
When I sweat, what happens when I sweat? You look at my skin when I sweat, what do you see? You see little drops of moisture all over, right? So why is steam called Zeya? Steam is not called Zeya. The steam itself is not called Zeya. The condensed steam is called Zeya. Because when steam hits a surface, it condenses there. And what happens when it condenses on the surface, right? Like you go to the bathroom, you close the door, you take a hot shower, you look at the mirror. What do you see on the mirror? You see beads of moisture. Meaning it looks like the mirror is sweating. Now, obviously, when I sweat because I exercise, when the mirror sweats because you took a hot shower in the bathroom, it's two completely different things. But they can have the same words. They look the same. Chazal also knew they were different things. They didn't think the mirror was actually sweating, coincidentally, because you took a hot shower near it. They didn't think the mirror got hot and started sweating like a person would. But it can be called by the same name, because it looks like the same thing physically, right? So that's what Zeya really means, condensed steam. That's what Zeya really means. It means condensed steam. Condensed steam looks like sweat, so it makes sense to name it the same word. Okay, and that's what they always talk about. In Hiziu Yadeha, in Machshirin, they say, the woman was cooking, she had tummy hands on a tahar pot, or vice versa. If her hands sweated, meaning if the steam hit her hands and condensed on it, then that counts as Zeya. If the steam didn't condense on her hands, it doesn't count as anything, right? So that's what Zeya really means, condensed steam. Okay. Machva shechol shenosno v'kiratav zirat shel basar. A pot of milk that you put uncovered in an oven under a pot of meat. Hazeya, the steam ole goes up and condenses on the bottom of the pot of meat. The nivla b'dera is absorbed in the pot of meat, but sarta and makes it asur. Adds Rama, if hayachol machas. If there was milk in the bottom pan, meaning if it was an empty milk pan, obviously it doesn't create any steam. Empty pans don't create steam. Or if there was a milk pan cooking vegetables, you know, it's going to create part of steam. But if there was milk in it, and we consider as if maybe all the taste of the milk in the machbas went up in the steam. Obviously, all of it didn't, but maybe all the taste, since we don't know how to measure how much taste went up to the top pot. We don't know how to measure, so machbas we consider as all the milk. So if you boiled a liter of milk, it's as if a liter of milk taste went into that top plishik pot. And so unless you have 60 liters in that pot, then you're in trouble. And this is only if the bottom pot is open, it's uncovered. And the steam goes from the food itself to the top pot. Okay, let's stop now for a moment. Let's see what the Rush is saying and what the Chiddush of the Rush. Let's get the case again. Here's my fire. Oh, fire is red. A plastic is red. What are we going to do? Oh, yeah, fire can be green. Right?
Blue. It'll be blue, no?
It's a pyre of fire. So, here is my chalav. Here is my... I know you can draw this differently. Hold on, third one. Basar, what's the problem? The problem is the steam of the chalav goes up and asers that pot. And what's the Rush's makor? What's his makor for this? Says the Rush. What? What's his makor? Where does he get this idea from? The Mishnah Machshirin. What do we learn in the Mishnah Machshirin? Anyone want to summarize the Shudder Rush for me? We learn a principle for the Mishnah Machshirin. What's the principle we learn from Machshirin? You could express it as an equation if you want.
That's like its original
exactly Zeya of X is X. Zeya's number, kamoso, the Zeya of something counts as that thing. Right? So that's why it says, for example, if you have tummy water and it steams up the mirror, then the drops of water on the mirror are tummy. And if you have tahar water and it steams up the mirror, then the drops in the mirror count as tahar water. Being tahar water is an afkamina, right? What power does tahar water have that not every liquid has?
Can it help like yadayim?
It's machsher. Oh, it's machsher's right. It's machsher foods. We kabbal toma, right? Foods have to get wet with one of the seven liquids. We kabbal toma. So one of the seven liquids, the steam of it counts as one of the seven liquids. And that's what it says, b'kiyutan, meaning it's machsher. And a tummy liquid, the steam of it counts as a tummy liquid. The steam of something counts as itself. What chiddush does the Rush say, does he add, that's not obvious, that some people argued with him, Mishnas Yaakov most prominently, to the Mishnah Machshirin. The Rush takes the Mishnah Machshirin and applies it to kashrus, right? The Mishnah Machshirin says the steam of everything counts like itself, in which case, the steam of milk counts as milk. That's a Mishnah Machshirin. The Mishnah Machshirin says the steam of milk counts as milk for the purpose of Tuma V'Tara. So the steam of Tumei milk would be Tumei, and the steam of Tahar milk would be Machshel Kabbal Tuma, because milk is one of these seven liquids. The Rush's Chiddush is that the steam of milk counts as milk even for purpose of Kashrus. Why is that a Chiddush? And not everyone agrees? Because think about it. When I boil, let's say I'm cooking chicken soup, and water boils off, makes steam. What's the chemical makeup of that steam? Same as the chicken soup? No, the water boils off before the tasty parts do. Baharaya, when things boil off the chicken soup, what happens to the taste of the chicken soup? It gets more potent because all the taste stays inside and all the empty water goes out, right? When I boil salt water, what happens? All the salt stays in the pot and all the water goes out. Right, if I would boil the chicken soup and keep boiling, in the end I would get like chicken soup powder. I mean, it would be burnt, but I'm saying, let's say, in the end I would get chicken soup powder, you know, and all the water would boil out. So this rush is not so pasha. You could have said, for Toma Vitara, which is a function of Chaloshem Chefza, the steam of everything is the Chaloshem Chefza that it came from. For Tarovas of Kashrus, what do you mean, the steam of everything? I don't care what the Chaloshem of it is. I care if it gives a taste. Right? Like, it's very, I have a haloshem chalav going into my basar. That doesn't make a treif. It has to be a tam chalav going into the basar to make a treif. So you could have said, well, the tam doesn't go with the steam, because steam is very tamless. Steam leaves the tam behind. Now, that's not always true. After all, a distillery, steam keeps the tam, right? So it's not always true, I think. Anyone ever distilled? Maybe. Okay. Anyway, all I'm saying is you didn't have to agree with this rush. You could have said, yeah, a Zeya of something has the Tum of Atara status, the original thing, because the Tum of Atara status doesn't depend on taste. But a Zeya of something doesn't have the taste of the original thing. That's not what my chemist told me. So you might have said, it's not a problem in Kashrus, Zeya. Okay, but the rush says, no, the rush says it is a problem, and we accept the rush. Even though they're Achronim, Lamaisa, we accept the Rush, right? The Rush is Paskin and Shulchan Aruch. If it's Paskin and Shulchan Aruch, that's good enough for us. We accept the Rush that not only is the technical Chaloshem abstract status of the Zeya the same as the status of what it came from, we even consider it to have the power of Ta'am of what it came from. Even though it be chemistry, that's not so Pashat. Okay, but we accept that. We accept that, like, if you would... You ever take a pot off of boiling soup, right? It has lots of Zeya on it, right? You would taste that Zeya. It wouldn't taste like the soup. It would taste watery. But nonetheless, we accept the Rush. Okay, Lamaisa, we accept the Rush, Pasuk in the Shulchan Aruch. You know, also because, like, it all depends on the circumstance, you know? It all depends on, there's everything has its own boiling point, and each chemical ingredient that has its own boiling point, it depends how hot it was, etc. And it depends on Boyle's Law, right? The pressure and the temperature and the area and the volume, etc. Anyone remember Boyle's Law? Okay, good, because you never actually need it. it's good to know that it exists, right? But the Oh, very good. Okay. So you always need one guy in the room who knows boils. You need one guy in the room who knows Tyrus, one guy in the room who knows Kutchim, and one guy in the room who knows boils. You're allowed to be both. Okay. That's the chiddush of the rush. That's the chiddush of the rush. That the zeah counts like the thing itself. Okay? The zeah counts like the thing itself. And therefore, this is treif. Halacha lemaisa. You could disagree, you could agree, you could disagree. Lemaisa is mafur shulchan aruch. That, the top thing, is treif, like the rush. Okay. I wonder if anyone here might have thought to themselves when they read the rush, why doesn't he bring a better mucker for this din? Okay, I guess no one did. Seder. All right, we'll have to figure it out. But no one read the rush and said, here is mucker for machshirin. But you could have thought to me, chalitin tum of atara and like kashrus. And if I was the rush, I would have gotten a better mucker. And then, of course, like, since you're not smarter than the rush, you then have to ask yourself why the rush didn't. Right? Okay, we'll come back to it. Now, first let's deal with the Ramah. Says the Ramah. Now, says the rush something else. Says the rush one other thing. He says, however, the rush had a decent knowledge of chemistry, physics, whatever it is. I guess this would be physics. Everyone knows steam or even water vapor will condense on a surface. But, obviously, it's subject to Boyle's law. But that surface, it will be more likely to condense on a surface if that surface is?
Cold.
You're also right. Cold. For example, if you take a glass pitcher, any pitcher, of cold water out of the fridge, what will happen on the outside of that pitcher?
Get the moist.
It'll get drops of Zeah. Why? It's so cold that it's so much colder than the water vapor in the air that it's as if the water vapor in the air is very hot and it's cold and it condenses on it. Okay, let's say I had like steam, actual hot steam, and I want to know if it'll condense on a surface. The answer is, if that surface is like room temperature, avad, it'll condense on that surface. Why? Because that surface is cooler than the steam, so it makes the steam a little cooler, and when steam gets cooler, it changes phases from gas to liquid. What if that surface is super hot, is a broiling hot surface? Then the water won't really condense on a broiling hot surface. The water won't condense on a broiling hot surface because first of all, it might just get burnt off by the broiling hot surface, but also, like, it'll just get hotter when it hits that surface and it won't necessarily condense. That depends on the pressure. Depends on the pressure. Says the rush, what? He's mesupak if this will be a problem, because maybe a davar cham einu makabel zeah. Maybe a hot thing does not accept zeah. I'm not sure what he means by this. I think what he means by maybe it won't cause it to condense. But then he says, look at this case. The fire's under the chalav. Yeah, this busser doesn't get so much fire. So it's not going to be so hot. Therefore, it won't be so hot. And if you think about it, yeah, whatever's closer to the fire is hotter. So therefore, the steam will be hotter than that pot of meat. It'll condense on it, and it'll be a problem. Maskana of the rush. Now, let's see where the Ramah goes. It says the Ramah. He says, first of all, he says, obviously, this is only if the machbas is uncovered. If the machbas chalav is covered, then there's not going to be any steam. I'm pretty sure steam doesn't rise from the metal cover of a pot. Also, it has to be cool enough, it has to be hot enough, that it'll still be out to less. If this busser is like 2 meters high, if this busser is 6 feet high, and steam goes up 6 feet to that Kedera's busser, but it gets cool, and it's not yet lettuce anymore, you can put your hand in the steam. Everyone knows, if you're cooking a pot of chicken soup on the stove, if you put your hand, like, mamish 1 millimeter from the rotef, the steam will be very burning. You'll have to withdraw your hand. If you put your hand, like, 4 inches higher, you'll feel maybe a shtickle warm. You know, you'll feel your hand will be a little warm from the steam. But it won't be yatza lettuce, though. The steam will cool off because it dissipates and it goes through the cool air. So that's only if it's still hot when it hits that Kedera's busser. And if the Kedera's busser is hot, but if this Kedera's busser is cold, doesn't mean cold, it means less than yatza lettuce, and the steam that reaches it is cold. If cooled off steam reaches cold food, then there's no blia. I don't care that you'll tell me a steam molecule has to be above Yad Soledis, or else it wouldn't be a steam molecule, because it would change phases to liquid. It doesn't make a difference. If you could put your hand in it, and this, and it doesn't feel hot, or it feels a little warm, but it doesn't feel Yad Soledis hot, that's not hot. So if lukewarm steam hits cold or lukewarm food, it doesn't make a bliya, because that's cold on cold. And therefore, he says, L'chein tom basal yabish al kadir shal chalav. Therefore, right, remember salamis? Not our modern salamis. Our modern salamis, you better keep in the fridge or you're in trouble, I think. But originally, the whole idea of salamis is that it was like...
Are you still doing yeshiva?
Okay, good. Yeah. So salamis, but how did they get the salamis that way? They would like smoke it or something. Or I don't know what they do. They hang salami. You ever see like these old westerns or something? They'll hang salami from the ceiling. It says, ah, what?
A dorm room.
You know what I'm saying? When they first make it. Yeah. Why do you hang it from the ceiling in the dorm room of yeshiva, even though it's already made? Not the same reason. Either just because it's cool, because it seems like you should hang salami from a ceiling, or without going through anyone's particular experience in yeshiva, that way the ants can't get to it. So he says, how can you hang the salami? You hang the salami on the ceiling, and then you cook everything on your stove, including milk. Every time you cook milk from your stove, the steam goes up and hits the salami, poisoning your salami tray. He says, and we don't worry about the steam. Why? Because it's not yet to look. Because the steam cools off. By the time it hits the ceiling, the steam is cool. You can put your hand there. You barely feel anything. And obviously, if this bottom thing is covered, it's all mutter. Because then, meet the avishdeker, there's no there. He says that this is covered, even if the basar was touching. Even if you mamish put a kederes basar on top of a covered milk pot, it would be mutter. Because blia doesn't go from a kli to a kli. So certainly, if it's a few inches above, Bliya doesn't go from a clean to a clean, right? There's no zeya. Once he's saying if it's covered, even if it's broiling hot and covered, and you put this right on top of it, two kederos that touch each other is totally mutter. Totally mutter, two kederos that touch each other. Right? Why? Bliya doesn't go from a kedera to from a clean to a clean. It only goes from foods. Into food, from food to kli, kli to food to food. A kli doesn't give bliya to a kli. Even this is mutter. Kol shekein. This is mutter. Like, how could there possibly be any transfer between them? However, l'chachila, we should be machmer. Okay, we'll get that. That's very important. The whole, this rule that bliya doesn't go from kli to kli is very important. That's why in the airline foods are double wrapped. Why are airline foods double wrapped? I mean, kosher airline meals double wrapped. Why are they double wrapped? Because we don't know how they'll warm them up. Maybe they'll warm them up. Maybe, like, here's your oven, and here's a spill of lard. And on top of that spill of lard, they warm up your kosher food. Ah, that'll make your kosher food treif. Not if it's double wrapped. Because if it's double wrapped, then there's two kalim. So the lard will make the outer wrapper treif, which is a kli, but the outer wrapper can't make the inner wrapper treif, because a kli can't make a kli treif. There's no bliya from a kli to a kli. And therefore, your food is safe because your food is in the inner kli. The lard is touching the outer kli. The outer kli's treif, the inner kli's kosher. And the outer kli can't affect the inner kli because a bliya doesn't go from food to food without rotev. And even though it sounds like l'chachilu, we shouldn't rely on this. Okay, you're stuck in the airplane just in case. So that's good enough.
Would you
put a
little argument, but that's if something's like kosher but not to your level, then that
Ah, you're saying, what if it's you're not flying United? The first time I flew United out of Israel, I was like, I didn't know what to do with myself. You know, I'm used to this Mahajan, the non-Mahajan. I flew United out of Tel Aviv. All of a sudden, they served everyone a cheeseburger. I mean, not me, because like I had signed up for kosher meals, but I was like, the hell am I? Why are we eating cheeseburgers in the skies of Tel Aviv? But okay, what can you do? That's what happens when you fly United. But what if you're not flying United, you're flying Tel Aviv? You're flying El Al. So in El Al, they don't put mamish kosher. They just put things that are not l'mahadrin. They don't put mamish treif, I mean. They just put things that are not l'mahadrin. So do you still need the double wrap meal if all they have is things that are not l'mahadrin?
Yeah.
I'm not talking about b'dieved. But l'chachila, certainly yes, for two reasons. Because even if they put things not l'mahadrin, it's always good to be mahadir. But B, more importantly, they put things that are not l'mahadrin, but they have milchik meals and fleshik meals. So what if they spilled some milk and they spilled some meat in the same place? Now it's treif.
Right? So even in El Al, if they're very sloppy, it could end up treif. Now, what are the odds they'll be so sloppy? I don't know. But, you know, it's good. The odds are, I admit, the odds are slim. What are the odds they'll spill milk and meat without cleaning it up in the same, and it'll be lying there in the same place, right? Because if they just spilled milk and meat and they cleaned it up and it was a bli in the oven, then it can't go from the oven to one wrapper without from a kli to a kli. But just in case, it's good to have double wrapping even in El Al. What if you didn't have double wrapping in El Al? Then I think you could eat it anyway.
Why do they have a policy for kashrus in El Al to wait 6 hours between heating up meat to heating up dairy?
Do they?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Is that the way to cool off entirely?
I have no idea. Okay. I never heard that before. I trust you. Trust you.
Okay,
I think you can get it delayed El Al.
It's not because they're Hasidish. It's just because they try to compete on price. And when you compete on price, you have to like schedule everything very close to each other and get more efficient use of your planes. And then when anything goes wrong, it gets delayed. Okay, that's not my rabbinic authority. That's just the story. Anyway, but yeah, okay. Now let's take this one step at a time, I guess. Probably they forgot to change that clock. It's a quarter to four. The first, let's look at the Rama. What does the Rama say? And the Rama here has a little bit of a chiddush, which not everyone agrees. What does Rama say? He says, here is your cholav, here is your steam, and here is your salami. And why is the salami mutter? It's mutter because it's not yad so lettuce bow, right? If it would be yad so lettuce bow, then it would be usher, right? So says the Rama, it's mutter because it umdur, it's not yad so lettuce bow. But if it had been yad so lettuce bow, like let's say the salami had been here, and let's say it felt more yad so lettuce bow, then it would taka be usher, right? That's pashup shot on the Rama, right? Mutter, this is less than yad so lettuce bow, that's the less than sign. This is usher because it is more than yad so lettuce bow. That's the more than sign. Here, this is controversial. For example, if you look in the Aruch HaShulchan, he seems to reject this Ramah. Really, the Bach is the one who really argues against this Ramah. Says the Bach, he says, no, you misunderstood what this Rush was talking about. You misunderstood this Rush. What? The Chiddush of the Ramah is that it's even Motu L'Chachila. The Chiddush of the Ramah is that it's even Motu L'Chachila, although there are some Rishonim who say that's only because they would always wash off their salami before they eat it. Because otherwise, you know, things on top of your stove, you ever keep things on top of the stove, they actually do get very gooky. Right? From the condensed Zeya. And Mestamet Platin, it's not Yatsa Lettuce Bow. Oh, but there's still gook there. So you still have to rinse off the gook. So Mestama, their salami, they would always rinse off before they ate it. That's what the Achronim say, to answer up why this is L'chachila. Because remember, L'chachila, it means rinsing. If you always rinse it off, it's okay. Right? Back, Simon Sadi Aleph, which seems like a long time ago. Now, here the Bach disagrees. Says the Bach, that's ridiculous. There's open space in your kitchen. The Rush never meant to be machber when there's open space. The Rush meant to be machber in a kira. What was a Talmudic kira? Now here it's unclear. Was the Rush a Talmudic kira or is the Rush a medieval kira? But anyone know what a Talmudic kira looked like? Hofe Shabbos? It was the size of? The size of two pots, fine. Right, otherwise it would be a kupa. It was a very small area and it was enclosed. He said, the Rush was only machmer in a small enclosed area. He wasn't machmer in a big area where there's room to escape. If there's room for the steam to escape, it doesn't make a bliya. It's only when there's no room to escape it makes a bliya. And that's what the Aruch HaShulchan says here. It's also on the sheet. Hine b'din zeyam et bar elani mishin machshir lo shayach zeyal makam amukav lo makam agolui. Only in an enclosed place, not an open place. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, really the Bach. He says, what was the case the Rush asserted? Was here was your Kira, and I'm just approximating. Here was your... And the steam has nowhere to go. You know, it's like stuck. It has nowhere to go. If it has nowhere to go, then that's considered serious. That's considered Zeya Ablia, because it has nowhere to go. It says, but Babamakam Gully could tanum shalana shakes over in a makam gully like our ovens that have a lot of space. Hazeya Ova Aver, it goes up in the air, Veino Osarkidera Samachlo, and doesn't ask for the Kadira next to it. Okay, he also points out in the Rosh that if the top one is very hot, it won't be the top there. What?
The gross kitchens.
I think even the gross kitchens. So he says, no, that's not, you know, the, it's true. You go into a kitchen, you don't feel like you go into a bathroom when there's a hot shower on. That feels steamy. No, this, you go into a kitchen, even if there's a steaming pot, it's not all full of steam. There's plenty of room for the steam to escape. He says, that's not a problem. And that's really the Bach's machlokes on the Rambah. The Bach says, quoting Rabbi Akiva Eiger here, the Bach says, nah, if there's room for it to escape, there's no problem. There's no problem there's room for it to escape. The rush only meant to aser if it's like bombs, like one is under the other and there's no place else for it to go. You know, not if there's room for it to escape.
A lot of kitchens, above the stove, there's a vent that kind of like sucks up the damp.
Now, that's even better than this. Then everyone would agree that it doesn't go to the salami.
Then
what if
the salami is right at the vent?
Right if the salami is right at the vent. That's an interesting question. Would that make it worse for the Aruch HaShulchan and the Bach? I'm not sure. It's a good question. Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger here, so Yetzalet is Bezeya, the Rabbi Akiva Eiger on the Ramah of Yetzalet is Bezeya. He says, V'meina Yetzalet is Bezeya, Mutter. In Lo Shek, Kedera, Rotach, Tzalei Atma. If the Yad is not Tzalet is Bezeya, it's Mutter, unless the Yad is Tzalet is in the Kedera that it hits. Meaning, if it hits a hot Kedera, it's Aser. If it's hot, it's Aser. But if it's not hot, then the Kedera is not hot. Ad kan loshon ma'arayv, ayin mugin avram, v'im sofik. What if it's sofik yad, so let us bow? Yesh lahakel, says the Bach. Okay, you should really, I should put the Bach inside on the corpse. Lo moshene. V'ulam, he says it, why, says the Bach? Because really, this Ramah is just a chumra v'yalma. Really, this Ramah is a chumra v'yalma. Really, we're not machver if there's room for the steam to escape.
How did it get hot? How did it get yad,
so what?
How did it get?
There was just a lot of steam. Like this.
I know.
You put it right here. It's the lettuce bowl.
The steam is obviously...
But it has plenty of room to escape.
Okay, but it's obviously going through the heating of the
salami. Yeah, but the answer is, since there's room to escape, it doesn't get stuck in the salami. It just says hello and moves on.
Okay, because it's mitzvah, we're going to heat up something and then leave.
Yeah.
We usually close it every time. That's something that we've seen until now, that everything...
Okay, but we never talked about steam. We only talked about things that are mamashas. He says, unless im choluk maguma v'kira v'akdira v'socho l'mala al pia kira machvas bina shein makam l'zeilas pasha v'zem idina osmeil v'sof yatzolet gavgirah. So what does the Bach say? He says, if you have something like this, and here you have one pot, and here you have the other pot, then it's stuck. There's no room to escape. That's osr midina, according to the Bach. Says the Bach, that's osr midina. That's the same as this. But I'm just using the very given example. But if it's in the air with the salami, that's not osa midina. So the Bach has an interesting compromise. He agrees with the Ramah as a chumra bialma. And therefore he says, you're not sure if it's the yatza lettuce, you can be makel. But midina thinks only if it's enclosed. So let's go to the rush again. And let's be very careful with our words before we get to the things we care about the most. Right? But this can happen. Meaning you have things in your shelves above the oven, and they get grimy. They do get grimy from the Zeya. What? They get grimy from the Zeya. So what's the din if they get grimy from the Zeya? So the Ramah says, the Zeya is, if they're high up, the Zeya is not yet, so let us vote, it's okay. At least sulfur rinse off the grime. Right? Says the, but if it's, so in that case is Haka, okay, that's the Ramah's salami. Right? Gets grimy, but it's not yet, so let us vote. What if something would be very close, like in the Zeya, very close, then that is the Machlokas. So what do we say here? We say the Zeya, let's be very, very clear what we're talking about. We're talking about the words of the rush. What?
The question of the dishes.
Yes. Yes. The question is, here is the psak of the rush. What is the psak of the rush? Is that the steam of the bottom pot goes up and trace up. Trace up is bad English. That's a better word.
Nullifies.
Assers. That's all. That's worse.
Makes the top pot true.
And it goes up and gets absorbed into the top.
item. Right?
That's what the Rush says. Ah, in what case says the what about if there's open space? If it's open space, says the Ramah, usher in Hayad Soledisbo. It's usher as long as Yad Soledisbo, even if it's an open space. So the low salami would be usher. Your dishes on top are okay because they're high up. They're not close to the stove. No one puts dishes right above the stove. That would be stupid, right? They're like a meter above the stove. So then you're okay. But theoretically, let's say you would take there's an example. You take a milchik ladle, and you almost stir your chicken soup with the milchik ladle, but remember the last minute, right? You're about to put the milchik ladle, and you remember, but you put the ladle into the steam of the chicken soup. So, says the Ramah, well, if it's almost in the steam, almost by the chicken soup, the steam is yatsa lettuce bow, that's it, the ladle's treif. Says the Bach and the Aruch HaShulchan, mutter. No, I don't care if it's yatsa lettuce bow or not. In an open space, we never, the whole thing of Zay is only in an enclosed space, not an open space. One second. And says the Bach Lamaisa, as quoted by Rabbi Yechiva Eger, he says, Me'ikar hadin mutter, aval machmirim le'osro. Right, that's what it is, a chumra bi'alma. In an empty space, we have a chumra like the Ramah. That if, so what would they say about this ladle that was almost in the chicken soup, it was in the hot steam? They'd say me'ikar hadin, still kosher, but we're machmir to consider treif.
What do you think the reason that it's a problem in a closed space is because it's Yad Soledad's bought in a closed space?
That's what the Ramah thinks. Kavaldik. Okay. But you could say no. You could say that if it's not a closed... The truth is, there's a very different dynamic in a closed space and in an open space for condensing. In an open space, it only condenses because of the temperature differential between the steam and the surface it's condensing on. In a closed space, it condenses because of the pressure. Right, Boyle's law is all about pressure, right? P equals
PV, the bubble.
Whatever it is, there's a law. The Boyle's law is one of these harmless kind of laws, meaning you can never get a ticket for violating it. So it is different. In an enclosed space, it condenses because of pressure. In an open space, it only condenses because of temperature. So there is actually a whole physical difference. So, okay, they think that's a difference.
If you stick the milchik ladle into the pot, why is it not considered enclosed if it's within the walls of the pot? Is that not considered enclosed?
Because it still has place to escape, to use the lushan of the
bach. It's like that's the only type of...
Yes, that's being mamish enclosed. Okay, now here we get to the $64,000 question.
Oh, boy.
Okay, do you know what I mean by that? When I was a kid, $64,000 was considered like $1 million, like a lot of money. And so there's this game, the $64,000 question, where like you would ask questions and you would get $1,000, then if you got the next one, $2,000, and then the next one, $4,000, $8,000, $60,000, $32,000, $64,000, and you could stop at any time and keep the money or keep going. Like, who wants to be a millionaire nowadays? Right, except when I was a kid, $64,000 was a millionaire. So the $64,000 question among old people is just a phrase for the really, really important question. So if you ever hear an old person saying that, now you know how to translate from old person language into contemporary language. $64,000 question is the important question.
It's my house, right?
You could, when my parents bought the house where I grew up, they bought it for a lot less than $64,000. And it was, you know, two floors with a basement and a yard, backyard and front yard, like a real house. And maybe they got a little mitzia. Okay, but still it would have been much less than $64,000, correct. Anyway, back in the day. Now, and I could take a nickel and go to the grocery store and buy something. Not something big, obviously, but something that's delicious for a little bit. Now, here's the fascinating question. Let's look at ovens. Can you use your oven for meat and milk? And I guess we'll have to delay this discussion till Tuesday, because the hour is super duper late. But here's the big question. Okay, and then we'll have to discuss it quickly on Tuesday. Can you cook milk and meat in the same oven? Right? When I was a kid, Now, the same time is a mefurish Shulchan Aruch Simen Kuf Ches that you cannot cook milk and meat in the oven at the same time, lechachila. Because the smell of one, if they're uncovered, so the smell of one will go to the other, and that's also lechachila. Okay. And in rare cases, it might even be an excerpt of the oven. Because of the smell, because of the sugar brecha. That's sugar brecha milsa. Can you cook at the same time? Kosher treif at the same time, or fleshing and parv at the same time, right? That could be halacha lemaisa. Let's say I buy bread from a milchik bakery. I have to check if they cooked it with cheese danishes at the same time. That's a sugar brecha milsa. And lechatchila we treat it as milchik. I assume that they don't sell challah for Shabbos like that, because lechatchila we have to treat it as milchik. Now, here's the question. What if I cook milk and meat in one oven? Like a regular kid. You cook milk and meat in different times. So here's my oven. At 1 o'clock, I cook uncovered milk in the oven. What happens based on this rush? Now the top of the oven is chalavi. I mean, some of the sides also, not just the top, right? Now what happens at 2 o'clock? I cook uncovered meat. What happens based on the rush? The top of the oven becomes bisari equals aser. Now it's bisari and chalavi, so it's aser, right? It's chanan. Okay, so is that bad or good? Is that okay or not okay? Now I've made my oven treif. Then what happens? Now what happens at 2 o'clock and a half? 2 o'clock and 30 seconds, what happens next?
Can't put stuff on the top of your oven.
What? So maybe the answer is the top of my oven is treif and I can no longer stick pita to the top of my oven to bake it. The top of my oven is treif. Okay, meaning maybe the top of my oven is treif, but who cares? I don't cook on the top of my oven. I cook on the bottom of my oven. The top of my oven is treif, and now the steam is treif, because it's tossing the treif top of the oven, and now it makes everything treif. That's a big machlokas, right? Meaning, what does the rush say? The rush says the steam of the cholov goes up and it gets absorbed in what's on top. What does the rush not say?
Comes back down.
That it comes back down and absorbs what's on the bottom. That's the big $64,000 question. Does it come back down and aser what's on the bottom? In which case, once my oven is treif, any food I cook in is treif. And basically, I've messed up, and you need two separate ovens. Or you need to kosher it, or cover all the milk or something. Or, no, take the rush. What he said, he said. What he didn't say, he didn't say. He said, the steam goes up and asers the machbas, the kederes basar. He never says, then it goes back down from the treif kederes basar and asers the machbas chalav. So maybe the steam doesn't take the taste. That, after all, steam goes up, it doesn't go down. So maybe it only goes up and it doesn't go down. In which case, it's no problem. Let the top of my oven be treif for now till Bias Gold Tzedek. But it doesn't hurt my food. It doesn't bother anyone. That's, of course, the shita of who that we all know and love and respect. I'm not going to discuss who we know and love and respect and who we don't. We do everyone, right? Rav Schechter. I have no idea what Rav Simon Sheet says. I apologize for assignment. No, Rav Schechter says, it makes the top of the oven treif. But the Shulchan Aruch never said it went back down. Mapitom makes the top of the oven treif. Vizel. So the top of your oven is treif. But you can cook whatever you want.
Lechatchila, like two open things.
Lechatchila, not at the same time.
No.
That's a Mefurish Gemara. Or at least a Mefurish Shulchan Aruch. It's a Machlokes Rabban Levi. So Rav Schechter says no problem. Not everyone agrees with him. Okay, we'll have to see why in Eretz Hashem next time. Yeah, of course. Okay. Yaakov's asking very, very well.